What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Kevin Stefanski will be joining us. I don't know if he knows it's just us, but it's not, but let's just say that anyway.
Us and an intimate gathering of the media.
Yeah, Kevin's press conference coming up 1:15. We'll hear it here from Berea. He'll be talking about Joe Flacco, who is the starting quarterback of the team. He'll probably talk about Isaiah Bond as well. But Joe Flacco will start at quarterback for this team. And Joe said during his little press gathering, Andy, that he expects to start coming up on Saturday against the Rams, which I think is a good thing. If you're a quarterback of starting caliber, ilk, stature, whatever you want to say. Should you be playing in the preseason? Well, Flacco hasn't yet, and he'll play for the first time coming up. Aaron Rodgers played a little bit. But last night, again, Joe Burrow started at quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals against Washington. He got actually thrown around a little bit. He kind of got beat on. He got slung to the ground a couple times. I just thought a few times, like, oh, take it easy on that guy. But I wonder what they're thinking in Cincinnati, and I wonder if this is it. Under Joe Burrow, the Bengals have historically gotten off to very slow starts.
He's like the Jim Tomey of the NFL.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, Jim used to say, I asked him a question once. I was just like, you know, April's kind of tough for you. Is it the weather? Is it? He goes, well, no, it's just historically slow starter. And I was like, oh, okay. Hey, at least he admitted it.
In his career in season openers, Flacco is 1-5. Or excuse me, 1-4. 1-4 in season openers. And the other weird thing to me about
him against the Browns, is that what you're
going to say? No. They've had slow starts under Joe Burrow. Not just in week one. Only one time in his first 5 years in the league did he actually have kind of a pretty decent start. His second year, the Bengals went 3-1 to get things started. But as a rookie, 1-6-1. Now you might understand that because it wasn't the best of teams.
Right.
But the last 3 years, starting last year and working back, Bengals have lost 4 of their first 5, 3 of their first 4, and 3 of their first 5. And I wonder if they're just thinking, you know, maybe if we get Joe out there. And like Jamar Chase didn't play last night, but he played in the first preseason game. They're just trying to work out some of the bugs right now and get that team ready to go so that when they take the field against the Browns in week one, they're ready to try and win a football game.
Yeah, that's possible.
Instead of having issues. Because, I mean, it's probably not a coincidence that Burrow, in fact, the graphic that they had last night of the game, he's thrown more passes so far in the preseason. He was 9-14 last night.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thrown more passes this preseason than he did in his first 5 years in the preseason combined.
Wow.
So he barely played.
Right.
You know, in the preseason, the first 5 years.
They're trying to get ready for the
beginning
of the season.
They're going with a different approach. You know, and you can argue yes, no, should have, not, whatever. But clearly what the Bengals have been doing with Joe Burrow didn't have the team ready to go when the season started. So they're playing him, much as if much like the New England Patriots always played Tom Brady.
I'm not alone.
And Tampa did too, by the way.
I would say the number one complaint week one of the NFL season is tackling is absolutely horrible. It's horrible because they're not doing it during the preseason, and they're not doing it in these preseason games. And I think that's why tackling is so bad. Would we have more injuries if these guys weren't doing thud and they were tackling to the ground in practice every day?
Thud.
Probably.
Explain that, by the way.
Oh, you just... You wrap your arms around a guy and stop.
You don't take him down.
It's basically you're just stopping forward motion.
Yeah.
And you don't have to take him down. That's the end. It's better
which means running backs, wide receivers don't work on breaking loose.
No.
And it means that guys who thud don't work on tackling and taking a guy to the ground.
And it's thud.
Thud.
Not chud. Thud.
I think it's interesting that the Bengals are doing something different with their franchise quarterback this year. But you know what? I give him credit for that.
mean, they've had slow starts, man.
I saw a couple of the highlights from last night's game. I mean, he ran for his life on a couple of plays.
Oh, not only did he run for his life, he got thrown to the ground a couple of times, and one time got sat on. Just thought, please get up. I don't like to see good players get hurt. I don't care especially preseason, but anytime. I like to see good players on the field, regardless of what sport it is and regardless of what team they're playing.
It's because you respect the game, Jeff.
Is that what it is, Andy?
That's about respecting the game and respecting people. You never want to see anybody get hurt. I never do. Doesn't matter what team. Especially when you get those ugly injuries. Oh, those are
with
bad.
This thought in mind, and I know they're getting more television product out of it. Okay, I know that. I understand it. So there is certainly a financial value to the preseason. But when are they going to just get rid of this thing?
Jeff, would you watch practices? Would you watch a two-team practice
on
TV?
I would, because I'm silly.
Right.
You know, this is what I do for a living. I've done it for decades. I cover sports. So I would watch. Last night I watched a good portion of the Commanders game against the Bengals. And then when they brought in Jake Browning, who, by the way, I think is a pretty dang good backup quarterback. He's become one. Right about when they took Joe Burrow out, the Guardians were starting up, so I flipped over and didn't watch any more of the football game.
Gotcha.
But I would watch practices just because of what I do for a living. If I wasn't working...
Can I throw the question out there?
Probably wouldn't.
Would you, rather than watching these preseason games, would you watch a controlled practice between two teams? I don't really. I would. I would watch it. I mean, you know, they show a lot of this college stuff, especially the spring games. Sometimes they're like that.
Yeah, but you just said game, spring game.
Okay, but I do think we do. I know ESPN every once in a while does practice. Like, they'll show a practice. Would you watch a practice against another team rather than watching a preseason game?
If it weren't the Browns, I wouldn't watch another team practice. I wouldn't watch two other teams practice.
So where would they hurt? They would hurt with ticket sales. That's about it. I truthfully think that's the only difference.
And most of those tickets are packaged in with season ticket plans.
Yeah.
The fans have to cough it up regardless.
Or do the practice at somebody's stadium instead. Rather than, so, you know, you
now,
do,
see,
your,
that's not a
do
bad
a
idea.
Joint practice at the stadiums.
That's not a bad
it's
idea.
It's hard to get work in on the side, though.
With 17 games, one more game doesn't make enough difference. That should end the preseason. Where they are now should end the preseason.
Dan, would you rather watch?
In my estimation,
would you rather watch a good controlled scrimmage or a game?
There you go, Dan's not.
Oh, don't do
that's
that.
That's all you need to know from Dan Menigan. Kevin Stefanski's going to speak shortly in Berea.
Unlike Dan,
within the next 5 minutes or so, we will hear from the coach of the Browns coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Tom?
Hi, Coach.
All right, fire away, guys.
Can you just address your decision to name Joe your starter?
Yeah, you know, all along been evaluating our guys, and I thought Joe has performed really well in camp and going back to the off-season program. I thought he's done exactly what we've asked him to do, and I think we have a lot of confidence in him.
How much has he started to further notice? Or from season or day to day, week to week?
Obviously, as you know, Tony, don't get into those type of things right now. Have a ton of faith in Joe, have confidence in Joe. I'm excited for him. His teammates know what he's about. He's a hard worker.
How will the rest of the QB room shake out in terms of the depth chart?
Not so concerned about depth chart, honestly. Really like our guys. They continue to work very hard, all of them. As you make decisions like this, you talk to the guys and you let them in on your thought process. But all of them should consider themselves get ready as a starter. That's how you have to handle being a backup in this league.
So you'd say it's still like a, I want to say an open competition, but you know, in terms of, you know, deciding how it all shakes out, you know, you guys are still competing for those roles.
Yeah, you know, we talked long ago with our every player on the team that, you know, these roles are not given out, they're earned. And that's something that will always be true at any position. I will tell you, I'm very, very pleased with that group and how hard they're working.
But you're not going to say who's number two for week one right now?
I am not.
Is it safe to say that?
Along those lines, what's the latest with Kenny?
He's going to do some limited work today, which is great. You know, he continues to progress nicely.
Is it safe to say that that Joe earned this job and it wasn't just by default because some of the other guys went down with injuries?
Yeah, he earned it. And I understand with the injuries, how that may look, that's really not the case here. Joe performed really well, both in practice, in the joint practices, in the meeting room, you name it, in the walkthrough, just what he's able to bring to the football team, he's earned that role.
Kevin, you said when you say Kenny's going to be limited in a limited role, does that mean more than just, you know, because he'd been limited before, is he going to get 11-on-11?
He'll get some 11-on-11, yes.
And what about Shador?
Going to do a little bit less today, give him a break and see how it responds, and then see how he's feeling for tomorrow.
Kevin, what is Isaiah Bond, what can he do to help your offense?
Yeah, I think like any player that comes in, we need to get him up to speed, Jeff, and see what where he fits in those type of things. But certainly he's got the right attitude, and we'll know more over the next couple of days.
Joe was saying one of the challenges of him making it this long is like battling boredom sometimes because he's been through so many different training camps. How do you keep a guy who's seen so much engaged?
Yeah, I was around Favre when he was 40 years old, and Brett used to call the meetings beatings. I think Joe's got the right attitude. There's a lot of minutia that goes into football. There's a lot of meetings that aren't so fun, and they're typically very early in the morning, so you better bring your cup of coffee with you. But Joe does a really nice job of not getting bored and making sure that he's you know, on point with all of the line calls, whether it's protection or run game.
And on the flip side, when the bullets fly, when you start playing, how can it help you guys to have somebody who has seen so many different looks throughout his career?
Obviously there's value in experience, and that's something that Joe has a ton of experience as a starter, as a backup, in different systems, going against different schemes. So he'll certainly lean on that experience, and we will as well.
Joe understands the long-term quarterback situation here better than anybody. Not a knock on the young guys, and Kenny was obviously hurt. But how important is it to have the season start with a quarterback that the guys believe in, that they know gives them the best chance to win?
Yeah, honestly, Tom, I do think the guys believe in Joe, but I want to give credit to that entire group. I think those guys are working very, very hard. We have a standard for that position, regardless of who's in there. Practice, games, how we operate, what we believe in. We have a very, very high standard. Obviously, Joe, having done it at a high level, has done it here as well. That lends itself to confidence in himself and confidence from his teammates.
Jeff said he expects to play. Do you know how long your starters will play?
Let me get through the next couple of days. I'll talk to you guys on whatever day that is, Thursday. Or Friday, Tony.
I know you guys have talked about being happy with the rookies and how they've progressed. So with Joe being the starter, what's important for them now going forward?
Yeah, rookie development never ends, and player development never ends. And, you know, I've told you guys before, we're obsessive about that, and especially at that quarterback position, but at all positions. So those guys will constantly be working and constantly be taking advantage of all the resources in this building. And you know, going back to the original point with Joe, they're in every meeting, and they need to prepare to start. That's what you have to do as a backup, certainly backup quarterback, at backup anything. You have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Kevin, when you go through something, you went through 23. In 23, you had Deshaun and then DTR, a rookie as a backup. How much did what you went through there, can it color, you know, your decision on Kenny, you know, a veteran backup compared to a, you know, a guy like Dylan or Shador is your
I would tell you every year is different. Every player is different. So we'll make decisions on those type of things when appropriate. But every year is different.
Kevin, what's the message with Isaiah coming in now at this point of camp and also coming with what he had to go through this offseason before getting here? Just what do you tell him as he walks in the door as far as what you expect of him and what you need to see?
Yeah, I think with any young player, as you add them to your team, it's the same conversation, Daryl, that happened for a lot of guys back in April. But it's about earning a role. It's about earning the trust of your teammates and your coaches, and he understands that and is ready to get going.
How much time he shared with you about Isaiah Bond?
Yeah, as you can imagine, Mary Kay wouldn't get into too much specifics, but with any player, we want to make sure we talk to everybody we can and find out about the person as much as the football player. And obviously, Tommy was together with Isaiah down there in Alabama.
I mean, it seems like you've run more end arounds and jet sweeps this camp and maybe the preseason. Would you agree with that, or do you think it's the same as it has?
I would assume it's the same as it's been. Yeah, I would.
Coach, you were asked about the possibility of keeping four quarterbacks on this roster Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you said that. You love to keep everyone, but it's just not realistic. Are you guys still eyeing a plan of perhaps?
Yeah, when I said that, I mean, I'd like to keep 90 guys on the roster. I don't think that's possible nor realistic. When it comes to every position, everything's up for determination over the next couple of days.
So it is still realistic to keep four quarterbacks?
Everything's realistic other than keeping 90 on the final roster. Roger won't allow that.
Bond speed is well advertised. What does that mean for your offense when it gets up to speed?
No pun intended. Been around guys with world-class speed before. I can still remember Coach Zimmer talking about it with defensive backs. Defensive backs respond to speed. When they have a guy across them that can run by them, they respond. We, as coaches, want to utilize the speed of a player, whether he's a receiver, tight end, you name it. We want to utilize that to our advantage and put that player in position where he can run by defenders, give them the threat of running by defenders. So that's something that we have to do a really good job of utilizing in this offense.
Kevin, you guys were really excited about Kenny Pickett, talking him up a lot at the owners' meetings and whatnot. And he had a really nice first 4 days. Would you say it's accurate to say that he had a very legitimate chance to come in here and try to win this?
Yeah, start? I'm still excited about Kenny, the player, the person. I've been around him now, Mary Kay, for many months, and I know what he's about. I know how he was performing. The injury was unfortunate, but it hasn't stopped him from being engaged. It hasn't stopped him from knowing exactly what's going on day-to-day basis. He's getting as much work as he can right now, but he has performed really, really well.
And going back to the development part, how beneficial is it for the young guys, Dylan and Shador, to be able to start the season and go into it with a guy like Joe Flacco, who's obviously done this for a while and has the mindset of leading by example rather than just being like that vocal guy?
I think it's an interesting question. I think it's we talk a lot about leadership, and then there's followership, and it's our job as coaches, sometimes our job as players, to be good followers and be able to listen and be able to take in how someone is setting the example, maybe not by, like you said, Cam, maybe not being very vocal. So whether it's Joe or anybody else, it's our job, certainly as players and young guys especially, to be really good watchers, really good listeners, and observe as we start this career for these young players.
Is it possible that your active number two quarterback would change from week to week, or would you like to avoid that?
Yeah, I can't get into too many hypotheticals. Sorry.
Coach, through two games, the defense has allowed 16 points, allowed only 88 yards to the Eagles. Kind of what have you liked from them in practice in these games and from the depth that you guys have?
Yeah, really pleased with our defense's performance in practice and the games. But in the games, I think you see our personality. I think you see the speed to the ball. I think you see guys playing hard, playing physical. Coach Schwartz and the defensive staff do a great job of coaching that out of our players. It's natural in most of our players, but there's a style to which we play, and I think it's been on display the last couple weeks.
And then the two takeaways that you guys have had, you know, how do you translate getting those takeaways into the regular season?
Yeah, three takeaways if you count Bukis on special teams, and then we had one negated, unfortunately, by a penalty. But those are huge. It's a point of emphasis for our football team. It's something that will work today and really every day.
Kevin, I know Cornelius left the game with the ankle injury. I wasn't sure if you followed up on that.
Yeah, no update on Luke. He's rehabbing. He's not out here today. Greg continues to get better and better. He'll be out here at practice in a limited role.
Kevin, you mentioned Favre before. Joe will now be in a short list of guys in their 40s that have started in this league. I mean, what kind of accomplishment is that alone?
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, I Coach Schwartz, again, does a great job of recognizing with the defense guys that make it to double digits when you make it to 10 years. And that doesn't happen by accident. And then when you talk about at the quarterback position, the battles that those guys go through every day, the battles that they go through certainly on Sundays with people, you know, trying to come after them in every direction. So I admire all our players and what they put their bodies through. But the guys that can get double-digit seasons in this league, it's really remarkable.
Kevin, a couple more. The runway to August 26th is getting shorter and shorter here. Just what do you tell those guys that are, you know, fighting for those back-end roster spots? And even for, you know, a shot at the practice squad there, what do you tell those guys this time of year, not only from a confidence standpoint or an engagement standpoint, but just you know, general.
Yeah, I think the point there, Daryl, is you earn roles like we talked about before. These guys have done a really, really good job. They're going to make some tough decisions. We're making decisions based on the entirety of their evaluation, the entirety of what they've done to date. So you don't want to, quote unquote, press for young players. You want to just keep continuing to do what you've been doing on a day-to-day basis.
When you went back and watched the film of Dylan, and maybe you didn't have those giveaways in your head so prominently, did you feel maybe even better just about his operation of the whole thing, and could you have been any happier with your two rookies and their two starts?
Well, I think, again, we're pleased with the progress of our young players. You know, Dylan and Shador are going to make plays in games, and then we want to teach off the plays that aren't exactly how we want them. So that's with young players at the quarterback position or otherwise, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have the wrong read, or you're going to have the wrong footwork or whatever it is. And then it's our job as coaches to get those corrected. So I'm really pleased with where those guys are and understand that they will continue to get better.
Kevin, go on.
Joe said that he brought all the quarterbacks into the room to tell him that Joe was going to be the starter. How do you feel like that went?
You'd have to ask them. I thought I was pretty good, but not sure.
Kevin, just going back to Isaiah, obviously, when you add a player like that in his situation, how involved are you in kind of getting to know him, and how comfortable are you with the process with Andrew and his?
Yeah, I think Andrew and staff, I think he's mentioned this to you before, these are things that we do our due diligence. We don't rush any of those type of things. So, and then for me, he was a player that we did a lot of work on and off the field, met with him at the combine, met with him here. So somebody that we felt like we had a lot of information on.
Good.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. He was good, Andy?
Good. Thanks, coach.
Good?
Yep.
Said something that stood out to me. I'm still excited about Kenny Pickett.
I was waiting for you to hear
something. And he performed really well. Now, Kevin plays it pretty tight usually. For Kevin to say he's still excited about a guy, okay. When he said he performed really well.
Number two quarterback.
Well, it made me think this. How do you make sure that you have all four of these guys on the team? Because you're not moving past your rookies, I don't think. And I don't think you would get anything in trade compensation for Pickett that would make you want to move him. And I would think he's next man up. If something happens to Flacco or if Joe doesn't perform well. And I wonder, you know, are you going to try and buy a couple of weeks by putting him on the injured list?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to make him your backup quarterback? The time between, and he's going to be participating in 11-on-11s today. So that's a big deal. The time between Saturday's game and the start of the regular season, significant. You have a little extra time there. That might be just enough to get him healthy, Andy, and good to go. If he's in 11-on-11s today, I would think that he could play if he had to. And might even play on Saturday. You never know. but I would think you'd probably err on the side of caution there.
So how do you sort this whole thing out? Is that where you're
going with this? Yeah, what do you think this, look, what do you think this does?
It's Flacco. Here's the order. It's Flacco, Pickett, and then dealer's choice, although I still think Gabriel's three and Sanders is four. I think that. I don't know that that's...
And we base that
and
on...
And by the way, does it really matter if you're three or four? Because you're not going to see the field on Sunday.
Probably not.
So it doesn't matter. So it's almost like Pickett, Flacco, the rookies. And that's probably the best way to look at it. We got to stop cheering for one guy.
Well, we're not...
We
need to pull for the Browns to have quarterback play.
I should retract that. We need to start cheering for one guy once they become the starter. And I'm sorry, you may think that Sanders should be starting. You may think that Gabriel should be starting. You may be our cat out there in California who feels like he's the only guy on earth that's screaming about Kenny Pickett. That's fine. Whoever's starting is starting, and that's the guy you got to be behind. I just think when you break this thing down, it's going to end up being Flacco, Pickett, rookies, and I think when they have to get to a game day roster, not the 53, the game day roster, one of those guys, it could either be Sanders, probably you would lean towards Sanders.
I would think Sanders is the guy who's inactive.
It's not inactive. It's IR. It's you're going to the injured list because you're only going to, like, you're not going to keep two guys to sit on Sunday.
You just might, dude.
It just seems so stupid.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll be honest. I would much rather
as
have...
As long as you don't have to lose them off the roster. And let's not forget, when Joe Flacco was here the first time, do you remember what they did with him every week? They put him on the practice squad every week.
And why? Because he, as a veteran, didn't have to go if claimed by another team.
Right. I still think, and I'm going to call Andrew after the show because... Andrew said during the game, I don't know, did you catch this when
you're
talking
that tight
about?
With Andrew Berry? You're just going to pick up the phone and call?
Sorry, Siciliano. Siciliano.
Wow, that's pretty good, huh?
But if I needed to, I'd pull some
press conference where you ask questions and I barely answer them.
I'm going to call Barry's office and find out. I'm going to find out because I'm telling you, and I was looking it up again today. I can't find it. I swear
there's Siciliano. You're allowed to put two guys straight on injured lists.
Straight on injured list or straight on the practice squad?
Injured list.
Well,
I believe.
And then injured list for 4 weeks or for what?
I don't know.
I don't know so that is the new rule, right?
Yeah, I don't believe you can just put somebody on the practice squad.
Okay, and I can't find it because I tried to find it.
If you have to, you can put a guy on the injured list and you're good to go and you have him. And I think there are two spots for that.
Okay, so if that's
I think that's the way it is.
The way they're able to work these rosters, and Andrew's really, I don't care if you don't like his draft. I don't care if you don't like the fact that he may not be bringing in a free agent that you want. I don't care if you just don't like anything about it. Andrew Berry is really, really, really good at working who's on the roster and who's not on the roster. He's excellent at it.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.